Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
For those girls about to rock, we salute you, and we take your questions. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, sound advice for girls with dreams of rock stardom. And later, cellist Jan Vogler talks about finding common ground between Dmitri Shostakovich and Jimi Hendrix, and he'll play live in our studio. But to begin, it's hard enough for a young person to muster up the courage to strap on a guitar and wade into the competitive world of rock and pop music. But it can be even tougher if you're a teen or tween girl. Superstars like Taylor Swift and drummer Meg White of the White Stripes have helped raise the visibility of women in rock. But role models may not be enough, even a role model like this band, Bikini Kill. Music and culture critic Jessica Hopper is author of a new book full of practical advice. It's called The Girl's Guide to Rocking, How to Start a Band, Book Gigs, and Get Rolling to Rock Stardom. She joins us here in our studio. Jessica, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, why do girls in particular need a guide like this? Is the deck stacked against them in a way that it's not for boys?
Well, I still think it's more socially acceptable for a boy to come home from school and spend 5 hours in his room playing along with his, you know, favorite Metallica record or what have you. And I think that, you know, some people still think that rock is a boy's world. And I just want women to have the opportunity to go out there and do it for themselves.
Now, there are, as I said, lots of practical tips in the book. But I understand the inspiration for this sort of came out of an ALA, an American Librarian Association event. Is that right?
I don't know. That's not quite right. When I was 16, I really wanted to start a band and start doing things. And I had a really hard time keeping a band together with my friends. And we didn't know how to get shows. We didn't know how to do anything, really. And so this is a book that I always wanted. And then finally, I've had enough time gathering information, working in the music industry, to kind of pull something together.
So is this the result of then years of hard experience, things learned the hard way, down in the trenches, so to speak?
Exactly. I mean, I had years as, you know, working in the music industry and working as a music journalist, which is what I mostly do these days, and playing in bands and going on terrible tours, managing bands, booking shows, all of it.
So who is the audience for this book? I mean, is it, you know, who is the sort of idealized girl that you're trying to reach?
Any girl that's really just a fan of music, that's looking to move one step further and actually kind of, you know, get her hands dirty, so to speak, and move beyond just being a fan of music. And also girls who are starting a band, or maybe they just have a guitar and, you know, are desperate to play with other people, but they don't know how to find bandmates, or, you know, girls that already have a band and they want to get shows, or they want to go on tour, or, you know, they want to know more about gear. It kind of meets you wherever you are within your span of music interest.
And is it one of these books that ostensibly calls out to these girls but really kind of aims at the parents, or are you pretty much really talking to the kids themselves?
No, I'm really talking to girls. I'm really coming at them as someone who's been in their position. But there are some parts that are useful to parents, and they're about how to soundproof a bedroom and, you know, the
That's
things
important.
You need to know when you're trying to go on tour, just trying to get shows. There's definitely things in here that, if you're a parent, are useful if you're trying to support your daughter's interest and love of music.
Now, if you're aiming this book at, you know, kids who are in their tweens or their teens, is a book in print, is that really the way to do it? Shouldn't, you know, I mean, are they still buying books?
Yes, apparently so. I really wish we could have, you know, some sort of audio and DVD and everything component to it, you know, just so that, you know, it's hard because when I was writing the book, there was all these things that I really wanted girls to hear and, you know, see. And so there's a lot of lists in the book, sidebars about movies to watch and the records to track down and what's the good funkadelic record to start with.
What is the good funkadelic record to start with?
I think Maggot Brain.
Why?
Well, you know, it's hard to pick. They have a lot. And also with the, you know, we recommend like four different James Brown records and multiple Joni Mitchell records and Neil Young records and all the classics. It was hard to just get it down to one.
Now, so what about, you know, people who are out there now? I mean, who would you suggest as a role model that the kids might actually know, have some chance of having heard?
Well, a lot of the girls that I'm meeting when I'm doing book events on this book tour that I'm on are really into Taylor Swift and Demi Lovato. But then there's older girls that really look up to, you know, who are like super fans of the Pixies or Bikini Kill or, you know, are obsessed with Kim Gordon. And it's generally sort of a divide between, you know, some of the older girls are like discerning indie rockers and the younger girls are definitely still into the Disney stuff. But I think whatever is inspiring girls too, you know, pick up a guitar or start writing songs on their own, whether it's Miley Cyrus or whether it's, you know, Joan Jett, it doesn't really matter.
Well, and Taylor Swift, I mean, she does write her own songs, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's a very successful and a very visible role model for young girls.
And girls are very big on Demi Lovato, and she has one song on her album that she's written.
This is Taylor Swift, You Belong With Me, and possible role model for lots of young girls who are about to enter the world of rock or pop music. That's Taylor Swift, who has a lot of hits for someone her age, and if she can do it, so can you. The Girl's Guide to Rocking, How to Start a Band, Book Gigs, and Get Rolling to Rock Stardom is the book. Jessica Hopper, the author, is my guest today on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
I'm really proud of the girls on my soccer team who've gone to the rock camp for girls because they've stuck with it and become pretty good. I'm really proud of my assistant, Karen, for helping found the New York branch of the rock camp and spending all her vacation time there each summer. Most of all, I'm really, really jealous.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Jessica, when I was 12, I would have liked to have had a book like this. I mean, I would have ignored the girls' part on the cover probably, but, you know, can teen and tween boys get anything out of this?
That's been the surprising thing about the book tour is the amount of boys that do show up and buy books. And sometimes they're not even with their parents. And they just want, you know, I think they just want to have whatever advantages girls have. You know?
is there some kind of, even if we're not aware of it, some kind of built-in support mechanism for boys who want to go this route?
I think, you know, when I was growing up, it was just, I felt like boys had all this information, that the world of rock was somehow theirs, and I didn't have the information to really enter their world because there was this idea that there's really only one right way to rock, and it means Led Zeppelin and learning Smoke on the Water and all of this stuff. And I thought, well, that's not only is that not what I want to learn, but I have no idea how to go about that. I don't have the interest in that. And I think things like the girls' rock camps, which there's now 24 of those mm-hmm. in North America, and just a lot of different programs that are aimed towards kids that want to rock, being inclusive, you know, to girls, not just specifically the camps. But I think that there's a lot more things now that tell girls however you want to do this is okay. You don't have to go the Smoke on the Water route, thankfully.
All right. As long as Jessica Hopper's here and we're talking about the book, we can take some calls. Are you a young female musician, or do you know a girl who might need some advice on how to start on the path to rock stardom? You can call us with your questions at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Jessica, let me read this comment to you from John in Brooklyn, who has two daughters, ages 11 and 13, and he writes, "They've both wanted to play rock instruments for a while now. They both play flute in an after-school orchestra program, but I don't know where to start them. Is guitar too typical? I think it would be good if they both played the same thing."
Well, I would actually recommend starting them on two different things. That way they can have a band together.
So guitar and drums.
Guitar and drums, gong, mini gong. No, you know, you can really go, you can go any way. And if they want to incorporate their flute into their rock band, you know, Jethro Tull, anybody can really do it.
So what are the most common mistakes, the common first step mistakes that, that kids make when they're first trying to get into the world of pop or rock?
Well, I think the main thing would just be thinking that you have to be really good before you start a band. And I think you can...
Didn't the punk movement take care of that 30 years ago?
Not for everyone. You know, a lot of people think that they have to be a... I think that idea is actually still pervasive, that you have to be some sort of virtuoso, or that you have to have training, and then once you are good and you can write a song, then you can have a band. And there's a lot of that in the book about... Just start where you are. If you play viola, try to see if you can start a band with your viola if your parents don't want to get you a guitar.
What if you don't have... Well, I mean, viola is usually a lot more expensive than a guitar.
Yes.
What if you haven't chosen an instrument yet? Any kind of... Is there anything that would point you in one direction as opposed to another?
Well, in the book, I tell girls to just go after what is the instrument that most interests you when you listen to the bands and songs that you're into. And take it from there, or look around your house if somebody has a guitar stashed away in the basement, or, you know, your brother has a drum set, or just see what you can beg, borrow, or steal.
Okay, a member of a new young band sent us this email. "My sister, two friends, and I are in a rock band called Sapphire. We write all our own music. So far, we only have a website with some YouTube videos from our performances. What is the best way to get our music out there?" So they've made the first. They've picked their instruments. They've got the band. What do they do next?
Well, I would suggest a MySpace page. And if they want to start playing shows, they're going to have some sort of recording up somewhere, whether it's MySpace, or maybe they can make a demo and give it to the people that they want to book shows with. Give it to other people in bands. Go to the shows of bands that you like, or other local bands that are similar to your band, and pass your demo along and see if you can get some shows with them.
Well, now, all of this sound, you know, if you'd been saying this 30 years ago, making a demo involves getting a studio, hiring an engineer, you know, learning how to handle microphones and amps and plugins and all that kind of stuff. Has the internet and the personal computer made all of this actually within reach of girls who are 11 and 14?
Absolutely. Just the fact that every computer, every Apple computer comes with GarageBand, and that you can record on the built-in mic. It's not going to sound amazing, but if you're ready to go, so is that, you know, you can have a recording in 20 minutes that's totally finished, and you can put it up on your MySpace. And I think, you know, even if you're not that technologically savvy, I mean, most 9-year-olds know how to work a computer better than I do. So I think we're actually just starting to see the beginning of girls making their own bedroom records. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a much bigger wave of that.
And then if all else fails, there's always Dad with the camcorder.
Yes.
Which apparently is how this band Sapphire from Nyack, New York, recorded this song.
Yeah.
That's two sets of sisters. Two of them are 14, two of them are 11. They're called Sapphire from Nyack, New York. And we are talking about Girls Getting Ready to Rock with Jessica Hopper, who's a music and culture critic and author of The Girl's Guide to Rocking. And let's take a call from Carla joining us in New Jersey. Hi, Carla.
Hi.
Are you a musician?
I play guitar and a little bit of drums. And my problem is that there aren't that many girls, unfortunately, in my area who really are seriously interested in starting a band and the commitment and everything. And I would totally be interested in joining a guy's band, but good luck getting them to let me in because they're like, yeah, sure, you can, like, come, you can jam with us. But as far as, like, making me an official member, they're, like, really hesitant, and I wanted to know, is there, what can I do to, you know, overcome their, the barriers that they put up against me?
Really good. Know? That's a really good question, Carla. Jessica, this is something you must have run into when you were playing.
Yeah, and it's also one of the main things I hear from girls that I meet at book events that I do. And a lot of the girls who actually are able to find people to play with go to rock camp, where there is an environment to find other girls who are as interested in playing as you are. I don't know how to overcome those guys' stupidity. I don't know how to tell you to how to work around that, per se. I have a lot of girlfriends who, in high school, wound up playing in, you know, Ween cover bands and terrible things just to find people to play with. And I would just tell you that try to soldier on. If there's any way that you can maybe work on just recording solo stuff, lay down your drums and then do your guitar. And maybe there's nobody that you play with for right now until you find the right people. I don't think it's worth it to play with people that are going to make you feel bad about your skills or your gender. It's just not worth it because it will turn you off to being in a band.
What about, is that why we see so many, you know, young girls banding together with other young girls? Is this like a really common problem that co-ed bands are hard to form in the first place?
I think when you're a teenager, it certainly is. And, you know, you might encounter these sort of the guys who are really into the virtuosity. And even I interviewed Marissa Paternoster from Screaming Females, who are local to New Jersey, and she's phenomenal shredder. Her band's opening for Dead Weather on this tour, and she played in a Medeski Martin Wood cover band in high school just so that she could play with people who were, you know, on her skill level. But she made it out, and she's rocking now.
All right. Jessica Hopper is the author of the book The Girl's Guide to Rockin', How to Start a Band, Book Gigs, and Get Rolling to Rock Stardom. We'll take some more calls and lots of comments coming in as well in just a moment. Jessica's doing a reading tonight at Barnes & Noble in Greenwich Village, the one on 6th Avenue and 8th Street. Here's a co-ed band with a great female bassist, Tina Weymouth on bass, and the band Talking Heads. Coming up next, more of our conversation on girls breaking into rock and roll, and we'll take your calls. And then coming up later, cellist Jan Vogler talks about combining the music of Shostakovich and Jimi Hendrix on his latest CD, and he'll play live in our studio. Check. I'm John Schaefer. More now with Jessica Hopper, author of the book The Girl's Guide to Rocking, How to Start a Band, Book Gigs, and Get Rolling to Rock Stardom. It's an advice book, but it contains a fair amount of rock history, the distaff side of it anyway. This pioneering guitarist and gospel star, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, is just one of the women discussed in the book. If you're a girl who's learning how to rock, or if you know a girl who is, and have a question for Jessica, you can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment on the soundcheck page at WNYC.org. And I suppose, Jessica, you know, it's important to ask, are you really writing this book for kids with the aim of creating a generation of girls who go out and become professional rock and rollers or pop stars? Or is there sort of another kind of idea behind this?
Well, it's not so much aiming to turn girls into rock stars. If that's what they're aiming for, you know, that's certainly... I certainly support that within the book, but it's more just that girls have an idea that music is something they can do, and it's a worthwhile form of expression. And the most fun I've ever had is being in bands with my friends and touring. And so I just wanted to encourage as many girls as I could, as many girls as I can, to pursue that for themselves.
And you know, does it offer kind of, you know, life lessons, useful things that you can take to other parts of your life when you have that experience of being in a band and traveling and gigging and booking tours and stuff?
Yeah, certainly. There's a lot of, you know, I try not to be too overbearing and too big sisterly, but I do relate a lot of my experience of what being in a band has taught me in the sort of bigger scheme of things.
Well, a lot of the comments we're getting are not from people in their teens and tweens, but, you know, older, could be, you know, in their 20s or 30s, but, you know, older than that women, let's say, like Rebecca from Brooklyn, who writes, "I really needed this book when I was younger. I was a band geek and played a lot of horns and loved music, but I didn't actually try rocking out till I was 29. I bought a cheap drum set and started taking lessons. After a few months, I started jamming with friends, and now 2 years later, I'm in a band and have played several shows around New York. I wish I knew that I could have done it sooner." Lots of comments like that coming in. Do you get a lot of those on your book tours?
Yeah, and also if you look at the Amazon reviews, they're all from women who are in their 30s saying, "Where was this book 15 years ago?" And and so it makes me feel like I'm on the right path. And, you know, I've given it to some women musicians who I really looked up to when I was growing up, and all of them said my life would have been, you know, pretty different if I'd had this sooner. And so I feel like it's really validating, but it's also kind of depressing.
Who are some of those women that you looked up to when you were 14 and 15 and just starting out?
The main band that the first band that I saw that ever had women playing instruments in it was Babes in Toyland. I grew up in Minneapolis in the punk scene, punk and noise scene there. And I'd been going to shows for a year, and Jesus Lizard wasn't, you know, what inspired me to pick up a guitar and think that I could do it myself. Once I saw a woman on stage, I thought, oh my gosh, I can do this too. 3 days later, I had a guitar. Sometimes I really think it takes seeing other female role models to sort of throw the lights and make you realize you can do it for yourself.
And for you, it was this band.
Yes.
Babes in Toyland. Song's called Right Now from the band Babes in Toyland, who were an early influence on my guest, author and critic Jessica Hopper. And let's take another call. Susan joining us from right here in Manhattan. Susan, are you a teen or the parent of a teen?
I'm a parent of a 13-year-old girl.
And what does she play?
She doesn't play anything. She just started showing some interest in rock, which I love because I'm an old rocker from way back, a fan, not a player. She's trying to push us towards the drum. Now, I live in a small apartment.
Uh-oh.
I was wondering if Jessica had any suggestions what we could do to help her out there.
This is actually a pretty common question from parents, and they said, we're trying to aim them more towards the guitar, the piano, something reasonable. And lots of times for all beginning drummers, before you get a drum kit, a lot of times it's recommended that you actually get these things called drum pads, which are basically two rubber circles. There might be some other parts to them. I've never owned them, so I don't know. But that it's to practice on before you lay out the, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 for a kit. And that's also a lot more practical. There might be programs also through her school. You might want to look up the Willie Mae Rock Camp for Girls here in New York, see if that's something that might work for her. And different music schools sometimes have classes just for people that want to play drums, so that at least she could have a chance to learn and play outside of the drum pads.
Now, Jessica, just because there's so much practicality in your book, I just have to say, from a practical point of view, as the father of a daughter who studied drumming for a while, mm-hmm. the practice pads, they don't want any part of it. They want the kid.
I know. You know, they're deeply uncool. They are deeply uncool.
Lauren asks, how do I convince my parents that an in-home practice space is a good idea? Kind of the same ballpark question, but... You know,
may not be able to convince them, but if there's some information about this in the book, how to build these things that we called soundboards to, you know, cut to fit them in your window, and then you can store them under your bed, so at least you have a chance of insulating your room. And I also explain in the book how sound works so that you can understand what are going to be the rooms in your house that might be the quietest, or build a sound tent so that you can just put your amp on a chair and then you kind of prop up a blanket around it and then play at the other end of it, and will really contain the sound so that you can practice in your room. Because if you can't practice, you're not going to have a chance to really become dedicated to your instrument and what you're doing.
All right, another caller, Joanne here in New York. Joanne, hi.
Hi.
How old are you?
I'm 12.
And what do you play?
I sing.
Anything? You sing.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't understand the answer there for a moment. What's your question for Jessica?
I was wondering, how does one know if they're, like, talented, like, if they sing good?
You don't have to know. If you're passionate about what you're doing, and you obviously enjoy singing, right?
Yeah.
Then I think that's all that really matters, and that somewhere out there, there's a band that's right for you that's probably looking for a girl that sings just how you do. And so it's not a matter of having talent or not having talent, you know, unless you're trying out for something like American Idol or something like that. But if you're in a rock band, there's all different kinds of voices and all different kinds of styles that you can try to make your voice fit with. So don't worry about having the talent. Just keep going with it.
Very often, if you have the passion and the drive, that'll take you a lot. There's been a
lot
of great singers out there who don't have particularly beautiful voices.
No, absolutely.
A final question, Jessica. Has anything changed in the last maybe 15 years since you started playing yourself that would make it more possible for kids to get into rock?
I think when I was first starting bands, the concept that a girl could have a band was still fairly foreign. And now, you know, there's a new Disney movie coming out called Band Slam about these girls in a band, and you know, there's best-selling video games where girls can pretend to be in a band, and just it's much more present idea.
The book is called The Girl's Guide to Rocking: How to Start a Band, Book Gigs, and Get Rolling to Rock Stardom. Jessica Hopper reading from that book tonight at the Barnes & Noble in Greenwich Village, 6th Avenue and 8th Street. That'll be at 7:30. And if you didn't get your question in on the show today, you can ask her tonight at Barnes & Noble. Jessica, great job with the book. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Still to come, how do we get from Bikini Kill to classical cello? Well, we'll figure something out. We have live music from cellist Jan Vogler. And tomorrow on the show, we'll hear from both sides of the debate on the renovation of Lincoln Center. Tomorrow on Soundcheck.